Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app to binge all 4 episodes of The Battle for Paramount early and ad-free. Download the Wondery app in your Apple or Google Play mobile app store today. December 21st, 1993, Paramount Headquarters, Manhattan. In the boardroom, Chairman Martin Davis silently stews as a financial advisor briefs him and the other board members on QVC's latest takeover offer. And the remaining stock would be swapped for QVC stock, a board member interjects.
So what's the total value of QVC's offer?
Based on current stock prices, QVC's bid stands at $10.3 billion.
That's more than Viacom, right?
Yes. Viacom's offered $9.6 billion. Also, the stock part of this bid is mostly non-voting stock. Viacom's offering Paramount stockholders less money and less say in the post-merger company than QVC.
Well, what do you think about that?
Davis stays mum as the board discusses QVC's new offer. His initial shock at being forced by the courts to sell to the highest bidder has decayed into resignation. He no longer controls the company he dedicated his life to. Davis notices that the board members are waiting for him to move the meeting forward. He says the only thing he can.
As the courts made clear, it's our legal duty to accept the highest offer. So, unless anyone objects, we should endorse QVC's offer.
Davis nearly chokes on those words. He hoped to retire on a high. Now, his career seems destined to end in humiliation. When his old foe Barry Diller buys his company, he will surely fire him. None of the board members object.
So, it's agreed. We endorse QVC's offer and wait to see if Viacom responds.
A board member raises his hand.
What if Viacom doesn't improve their offer? Can we just go with QVC and be done with this?
Paramount Chief Counsel Don Orsman replies.
We're obligated to give Viacom a chance to respond. Since the holidays are upon us, I suggest we give them until January 7th to submit a new offer or withdraw.
Davis nods.
I second that. All agreed?
January 7th.
Yeah, that works for me. All right.
3 months ago, they thought they'd be merging Paramount with Viacom. Now, Paramount is QVC's to lose. But Viacom's 70-year-old owner, Sumner Redstone, isn't done yet. He's chasing a deal that could change everything. A fast-track merger with Blockbuster that'll let Viacom snatch Paramount back from Diller. But Redstone's only got 17 days to do it. And if he fails, he will miss his one and only shot at fulfilling his dream of owning his favorite Hollywood studio. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars.
On the last episode, QVC chief Barry Diller gatecrashed Paramount and Viacom's merger. The courts smacked down Paramount chairman Martin Davis, and Blockbuster threw Sumner Redstone a lifeline. Now, Viacom and Blockbuster are out to grab Paramount from Diller. But to even stay in the race, they must first overcome their own disagreements and finalize their own multi-billion dollar merger. This is Episode 4, Down to the Wire. December 23rd, 1993, Midtown Manhattan. In the offices of law firm Sherman & Sterling, Viacom owner Sumner Redstone sits in a windowless conference room with his negotiating team. It's almost 2 in the morning, and he and his team have been locked in talks with Blockbuster for days. But 20 minutes ago, the talks collapsed yet again, so the two sides agreed to take a short break to talk among themselves. Now, Redstone and his people are waiting for Blockbuster's team to return to the negotiations. Viacom CEO Frank Biondi pours the last of the now tepid coffee into his cup and looks at the team.
What do you all think they'll do this time? A belly drop or a walkout?
Biondi's colleagues chuckle. They've grown wise to Blockbuster CEO Wayne Huizenga's negotiation tactics. The belly drop is their nickname for Huizenga's ploy of letting deals get all the way to the point of signing and then suddenly demanding another concession. Redstone rubs his eyes.
I anticipate another walkout.
Biondi nods.
Yeah, I bet that worked real well when he was buying up video rental stores. He probably had the store owners running down the street after him, clinging onto his leather coat, begging him to come back.
Yes, but we're no mom and pop.
Viacom's talks with Blockbuster began well. Blockbuster agreed to be bought in a deal that would leave Redstone in total control of Viacom. Then, Viacom would use Blockbuster's cash to keep fighting for Paramount. But now, Huizenga wants Blockbuster's shareholders to get extra stock if Viacom's stock price dips below $55 after the merger. And Redstone won't go there. The Viacom team perks up as the conference room door opens. Huizenga enters, followed by his team. As they take their seats, Redstone notices a green folder in Huizenga's hands. He imagines Huizenga will pretend to accidentally leave the folder behind, so he's got an excuse to call Viacom if he walks out. Each team is quietly assessing the other, looking for clues for where this is headed. Huizenga sits opposite Redstone. Both men know they need each other. Neither of them can win Paramount alone. But if they don't reach a deal by January 7th, it'll be too late to stop QVC from taking Paramount. Huizenga ends the silence.
Have you reconsidered your position?
Redstone shows no emotion.
I thought you were reconsidering yours. My position is unchanged. If we did what you ask and Viacom stock fell below $55, we'd have to issue new stock to your stockholders. That would further depress Viacom's stock price, triggering more share issues to compensate your stockholders again. It would put Viacom in a death spiral.
Huizenga stares at Redstone. He still can't read the guy. He gives nothing away, not even the merest twitch. It's like he's carved from rock.
Then Sumner, we're at an impasse.
Huizenga stands.
I'm sorry we couldn't work it out. Good luck with Paramount.
Huizenga heads to the coat rack and puts on his long black leather coat. His minions follow his lead. Huizenga reaches for the door handle.
Goodbye then, and happy holidays.
Redstone nods.
Yes, you too.
The Blockbuster team leaves and closes the door behind them. The Viacom executives look at the table. Huizenga's taken his green folder with him. This is no staged exit. It's the real deal. Biondi turns to Redstone.
Should I go after them?
Redstone waves his hand dismissively.
No. There's a point where the price crosses the line of rationality. What they want takes us beyond that line. I won't move. They won't move. There's no more to say.
3 months ago, Redstone had Paramount in his grasp. Then, QVC chief Barry Diller barged in and stole the deal.
A merger with Blockbuster was his last chance to stage a counterstrike. He thinks that it's all over, but the investment bankers trying to engineer the takeover have other ideas. Christmas Day, 1993, New Jersey. Michael Levitt pulls his Jeep Cherokee onto the highway with his bulky car phone pressed to his ear. Levitt is a 35-year-old hotshot at Smith Barney Shearson, the investment bank advising Viacom on its efforts to buy Blockbuster and Paramount. He spent the morning tracking down Blockbuster president Steve Berard to a golf resort in Arizona. Not that Berard's happy about that.
Michael, it's Christmas Day. I'm on my first vacation in 6 years. You better have a good reason to be calling.
I do. I've been talking with the Viacom guys. I think we can resurrect the talks.
Michael, I know how this works, okay? You haven't spoken to anyone. Your boss is on your back and he's yelling at you to get us back in the room with Viacom so you can reel in your big, fat, juicy $12 million fee.
Well, we're all here to make money and you're about to let a great opportunity slip away. Come on, what's the harm in talking more?
It's a waste of time. Viacom won't budge.
Yeah, they will. They need you. Without Blockbuster, they don't get Paramount. You're arguing over small details. You pushed a little too far, but I think if you ease back just a bit, they'll meet you at more than halfway.
Let's say I buy that. All right, what's the rush? Why call me on Christmas Day?
Because I'm Santa delivering the ultimate present, and because Viacom's Frank Biondi's spending Christmas at his vacation home in Scottsdale. You know, he's only a few miles away from you. You two should have dinner.
You want me to have Christmas dinner at Frank's?
Yeah, he's game if you are.
What am I supposed to tell my wife?
Take her with you. Come on. What do you say?
Look, Michael, even if Frank and I restart talks, we only have until January 7th to counter QVC's bid. The idea that we'd agree to merge Viacom and Blockbuster by then is a total Hail Mary.
A Hail Mary is better than no play at all.
Okay. It's against my better judgment, but let's try this.
Later that day, Berard and Biondi repair trust over plates piled with Christmas ham and agree to reopen the talks after the holidays. But while Viacom and Blockbuster prepare to try again, QVC chief Barry Diller reassesses his own plans for Paramount. Late December, 1993. Off the coast of the Caribbean island of St. Barts, a bright white superyacht cuts through the blue tropical waters. On the deck, a crew member brings another cocktail to the bald multimillionaire who's renting it for the holidays.
Your Negroni, Mr. Diller. Can I bring you anything else?
Diller doesn't look up from his Apple PowerBook laptop. He can't tear himself away from the spreadsheet on the screen.
No, that's all.
Diller stares at the numbers on the spreadsheet. There are dozens of columns and rows slicing and dicing the financial implications of his plan to buy Paramount. He spent his vacation tweaking numbers and altering formulas on this spreadsheet in an attempt to divine Paramount's true value. QVC is offering $10.3 billion for Paramount, but until this moment, the need for speed drove QVC's furious bidding war with Viacom. It's only now that Diller's got time to ask himself if Paramount is really worth it. He wants Paramount. He sees it as the foundation of the media empire he wants to build. But he doesn't want to make a reckless decision either. He was at Fox when Rupert Murdoch overstretched himself and nearly lost everything. He doesn't want to make that mistake. And that's why he's re-examining the numbers. And no matter how he looks at them, the conclusion he reaches is always the same. Paramount is worth $10 billion. QVC's already offering $300 million too much. He picks up the phone by his side and calls the investment banker advising QVC's bid.
Hey, it's Barry. Listen, I've run the numbers over and over, and Paramount's not worth another cent. I'm sticking to our current bid come hell or high water.
What if Viacom bids more?
They won't. Viacom's taking on more debt than us to fund its bid.
Going higher makes even less sense for them. For them to bid more would be a pure ego move.
Maybe that's enough.
Ah, come on. Redstone's not stupid. If the numbers don't work, he won't go there. And even if he does, I'm not going to out-stupid him.
Diller hangs up, shuts his laptop, and reaches for his cocktail. He's comfortable with his decision, and convinced that he's done enough, maybe too much, to win Paramount. Besides, word is that Viacom's talks with Blockbuster ended in failure. Redstone's got nothing more to give. Diller sinks into his chair and turns his face to the sun, content in believing he has nothing to fear. Paramount is his. But the calm waters are about to turn rough.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
Two a.m., January 7th, 1994. The Carlyle Hotel on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Viacom's 70-year-old Sumner Redstone emerges from his bathroom in a white bathrobe, fresh from a long, hot shower. He pads across his hotel apartment, leaving a trail of wet footprints behind him. He catches himself in the mirror. He feels reinvigorated from his shower, but the dark rings under his eyes tell a different story. The story of how he spent 48 hours in non-stop talks with Blockbuster. Those talks are still grinding on through the dead of night without him. But time is short. Viacom must sweeten its offer for Paramount today or concede defeat. But he won't have the money to do that until he buys Blockbuster. Redstone heads to his desk and calls his team. Viacom CEO Frank Biondi steps out of the talks to answer the call.
Hey, boss, I thought you'd be getting some sleep.
How can I sleep when so much is at stake? So how are the talks going?
Well, Huizenga's doing his usual tricks. He just did another belly drop on us. He wants another concession before signing.
Rage courses through Redstone's body. He's sick of Blockbuster CEO Wayne Huizenga's negotiating stunts. He used to laugh them off, but now there's a make-or-break deadline bearing down.
He's still playing games? That's it. No more concessions. If he pulls any more of this garbage, tell him it's over and walk out.
For real?
Yes, for real. He takes the deal as it stands right now, or it's over.
Redstone hangs up. It's down to Huizenga now. If he doesn't cave, Viacom won't get Blockbuster.
No Blockbuster, no money. No money, no new bid for Paramount. No new bid, no Paramount. Everything is at stake. But Huizenga does cave. He's not about to miss out on the chance to hitch Blockbuster to Viacom and Paramount. And now that he's unable to squeeze anything more out of Redstone, he stops haggling. Before sunrise, the two sides reach a deal, and their lawyers leap into action to hastily draft the contracts that need to be signed. The all-stock deal will see Viacom pay $8.4 billion for Blockbuster. Blockbuster also commits another $1.25 billion in cash to Viacom's fight for Paramount. Viacom uses that money to revise its offer. The new offer reaches Paramount headquarters just minutes before the deadline. By the skin of their teeth, Redstone and Huizenga are back in the race. Late evening, January 7th, 1994. Inside a Hawker 700 executive jet bound for Fort Lauderdale, Huizenga pops open a bottle of Dom Perignon. As champagne fizz gushes from the bottle, the Blockbuster team cheers. They're all running on fumes after almost 72 hours of round-the-clock talks. Only the adrenaline high of making the biggest deal of their lives is keeping them going now. Huizenga addresses the team as the champagne flutes are handed out.
It's been a hairy ride, but we got there. We can be proud of the deal we got our stockholders today. 7 years ago, Blockbuster was worth $7 million. Today, we sold it for $8.4 billion.
All around.
Well done. Way to go.
Yeah.
So, a toast to us.
Armed with champagne, the team sinks into the plane's soft leather seats. One of the attorneys sits forward.
So how long until the first shareholder lawsuit?
Another executive peers over the back of his seat to reply.
I bet it'll be there waiting for us when we land.
But as his team kicks back, Huizenga stares out the window into the dark clouds. A realization's dawning. He's no longer the boss of an independent company. He now answers to Sumner Redstone. An executive notices the solemn look on Heisinger's face.
You okay there, Wayne? Not having second thoughts, are you?
Huizenga forces a smile.
No. I'm just tired. The deal's the right thing to do. We're locking in the gains for shareholders and making Blockbuster a better place to adapt to the future of video.
Besides, he knows the deal's done, and it's already too late to walk away. January 12, 1994. Paramount Headquarters, Manhattan. Paramount's board listens as their financial advisor breaks down Viacom's new offer.
Viacom has increased the cash portion of their offer to $6.5 billion. That's $1 billion more cash than QVC. But it's not all good news.
The board members who've been nodding all along look concerned.
The markets have reacted badly to Viacom's merger with Blockbuster. Viacom's stock price has plunged, and that's dragged down the value of the stock portion of its offer. So taken as a whole, Viacom's offering $9.4 billion. Therefore, QVC's bid remains superior at $10.3 billion.
Paramount Chairman Martin Davis absorbs the news without emotion. Viacom's new offer also makes clear that there's no place for him after the buyout. Blockbuster's people will now be getting the jobs once set aside for him and Paramount's top team. Whoever wins, Davis knows he's finished. He looks at the financial advisors.
Thanks for your assessment. On that evidence, I believe we should continue to recommend QVC's offer to stockholders.
Looks like it.
The board murmurs in agreement. There's nothing to debate. The courts have ordered them to accept the highest offer. Davis sits forward in his chair.
I propose we set a deadline for QVC and Viacom to submit their final offers so this auction doesn't drag on. How's the close of business on February 1st sound?
February 1st.
Board agrees. Davis feels relief. At least,
he'll be put out of his misery soon. The Paramount Board's rejection of Viacom's revised offer is a hammer blow for Redstone. He gambled on Blockbuster, hoping to snatch Paramount back from Barry Diller. But Wall Street's sour reaction to the merger has crippled his plan. Now, Viacom's got just 20 days to find a new way to sweeten its offer. January 16, 1994, Midtown Manhattan. On the 49th floor of investment bank Smith Barney Shearson, Viacom's top executives and advisors are trying to find a way forward. One executive can't stop pacing the room.
We need a Diller killer of an offer. Something QVC can't match.
Viacom CEO Frank Biondi looks up.
Well, I'm all ears if you have an idea. We can only offer a little more cash, and extra stock will only further depress our stock price.
But what about warrants? We could offer warrants to redeem later for Viacom stock.
Biondi shakes his head.
Nah. Sumner won't go there. Anything else?
There's no response. Everyone's out of ideas. But then, Michael Levitt, the banker whose Christmas Day intervention got Viacom and Blockbuster back into talks, speaks.
We could issue a contingent value right, a collar.
The pacing executive stops.
What the heck's a collar?
It's a guarantee to Paramount stockholders. Basically, Viacom promises that its stock will reach a certain price within 3 years of the buyout.
And if it doesn't?
Then Viacom has to make Paramount stockholders whole by covering the shortfall.
Biondi points a finger in Levitt's direction.
How much will that cost?
Worst case scenario, Viacom would have to pay $1 billion.
$1 billion?
Yeah, but if Viacom stock hits or beats the collar price, there's nothing to pay. This way you get to put another $1 billion on the table even though you don't have the money.
Sounds like a high-risk gamble to me. I don't think this is going to fly with Sumner.
Levitt's boss, investment banker Robert Greenhill, interrupts.
Frank, do you want Paramount? Yes. Then this is the only option you've got. Without a collar, there's no way to win. You've explored every other option. This is the only way.
Biondi knows Greenhill's right.
Yeah, I know, but how the heck do we sell this to Sumner?
Just tell him the truth, that this is the only option with legs.
Biondi reaches for the speakerphone sitting in the center of the meeting room table and calls Redstone.
This is Sumner.
Sumner, it's Frank. We've looked at everything twice over, and the only option is to offer Paramount a collar.
I know what a collar is. Are you certain it's the only way?
Yes.
Then let's do it. I want to win this.
But the Viacom team knows it might still not be enough. Even with the collar and a little more cash, Viacom will only just squeak past QVC's bid. Barry Diller wouldn't have to increase QVC's offer by that much to win, and the Viacom crew are certain he's going to do exactly that. And with the February 1st deadline for final offers closing in, this fight is going to go down to the wire.
We get support from Court. You know, the way people work is changing, and the workplace itself needs to change too. But what if flexibility wasn't just an option? With Court's flexible furniture solutions, you can create agile work environments that become your team's greatest advantage. Save capital with swing spaces, attract top talent with collaborative environments, and create connected spaces that employees will love. Flexibility is the future, and Court Furniture Rental helps you embrace it. Learn more at Court, that's CORT.com/office. We get support from Acura. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
February 1st, 1994. Paramount Headquarters, Manhattan. Paramount Legal Chief Don Orsman watches the second hand on the clock that hangs on his office wall. It's 4:58 p.m., and QVC and Viacom must submit their final takeover offers by 5. But so far, there's nothing. Orsman stares at the fax machines across the room and mutters to himself,
"You're both cutting this very close."
Orsman looks at the binoculars on his desk. He's going to miss bird watching from this perch 42 stories above Central Park. When the deal's done, both him and Paramount Chairman Martin Davis will get fired. The fax machine earmarked for Viacom's final offer comes to life. Orsman rushes over. He checks the time. It's 4:59 p.m. The second fax machine bursts into action. QVC's also submitting a new bid. Orsman waits as the fax machines slowly print the two incoming offers. Davis enters the room.
"Are those the new offers?"
"Yes, yes."
Orsman scoops up Viacom's offer and starts reading.
"No extra cash from Viacom. Collar's still there, though. Lots of tweaks to the stock portion, including more protection if Viacom's stock falls after the merger."
Davis moves nearer.
"What about QVC?
Orsman checks QVC's offer.
"QVC's increased the cash, but still less than Viacom. Stock portion's been pared back. It's a rebalancing, but the total value's unchanged. Well, what about a collar? Is QVC offering one?"
Orsman hunts for any sign of a collar. He reaches the last page and looks at Davis.
"There's no collar. We need to check the detail, but these offers are more or less equal in value. The only difference..."
Davis interrupts.
"Is the collar. And since QVC doesn't have one, Viacom's bid is now superior."
Davis smiles with satisfaction. Davis might be going down, but at least he knows Diller's going down with him. It's a photo finish between the two rivals. Despite pressure from his partners and the news of Viacom's game-changing deal with Blockbuster, Diller stuck by his decision not to improve QVC's offer. As a result, both Viacom and QVC's bids are worth just over $10 billion. But with a collar guaranteeing stock price rises within 3 years for Paramount stockholders, Viacom is now ahead. And on February 14th, Paramount stockholders cast their votes and crown Viacom the victor. February 15th, 1994, the morning after Viacom's win. In his office in Viacom's headquarters in Times Square, Sumner Redstone fields another call from a well-wisher.
"Well, Mr. Vice President, I'm so honored that you made the time to call me."
Redstone smiles as Vice President Al Gore congratulates him on buying Paramount. Yesterday, Redstone was a billionaire cable, TV, and cinema owner. Now, he owns one of Hollywood's greatest movie studios, and he's set to become a true media titan, a culture-shaping power broker on par with Rupert Murdoch and Ted Turner.
"Yes, it was a hard battle, but nothing great comes easy, you know that. And yes, my people will let you know when I'm next in Washington."
Redstone hangs up. The phone immediately rings again.
"Mr. Redstone, Barry Diller's on the line."
"Oh, my so-called friend. Yeah, put him through. Barry."
"Sumner, look, I'm sorry you won, but congratulations all the same."
"Thanks. I'm just sorry that you cost me $2 billion, some friend you are."
"Okay, you won, all right? Well, what more do you want?"
"The $2 billion I spent fighting you?"
"Oh, come on, give it a rest. It's done. I'll see you around."
Truth is, no one emerged from the battle for Paramount unscathed. Redstone won, but paid $2 billion more than he originally expected. Now, Viacom's loaded with debt, and he's got to sell Paramount assets like Madison Square Garden to repair the company's balance sheet. Martin Davis thought the Paramount-Viacom deal would be the crowning achievement of his career. Instead, he found himself stripped of power and cast aside. Wayne Huizenga's regrets about selling Blockbuster kept on growing. Dazzled by the prize of Paramount, he surrendered the video rental chain to Redstone for a fistful of non-voting stock. Cable tycoon John Malone got burned too. His decision to dump QVC to sell his empire to Bell Atlantic backfired. 2 weeks after Redstone got Paramount, Malone's deal with Bell Atlantic unraveled. Malone found himself right back where he started, in need of programming to help his cable systems adapt to the multi-channel age, but with his chance to win Paramount gone. But Diller, he lost the most. He swapped Hollywood for QVC with a grand plan to buy Paramount, then lost it after refusing to bid a cent more. His lunge for Paramount might have caused the downfall of his nemesis, Davis. But that's cold comfort. After all, he didn't get to pull the trigger himself. But Diller's wasting no time in moving on. Within weeks of losing Paramount, he starts hunting another big game target. July 12, 1994, Teterboro Airport, New Jersey. Barry Diller steps out of his Gulfstream jet and heads down the steps to the tarmac. He's wearing a tailored suit and feeling good. And that's because he's close to securing a $2 billion deal to take over the broadcast TV network, CBS. But as he strides toward the airport building, he sees two familiar figures approaching. Ralph and Brian Roberts, the father and son duo that run the cable giant Comcast. Diller smiles. If it wasn't for them, he wouldn't even be running QVC. And without their rock-solid backing, he'd never have had a shot at buying Paramount.
Ralph, Brian, ha ha! What a coincidence to cross paths like this.
Ralph steps forward. There's a letter in his hand.
Barry, it's no coincidence.
Ralph gives Diller the letter. Diller eyes it with suspicion.
What is this?
It's a letter informing you that Comcast is making a takeover bid for QVC.
Diller looks at Ralph and Brian.
But I'm about to buy CBS.
Barry, we're not interested in CBS. We put you in charge of QVC so you could buy Paramount and make programming for cable systems. I told you to bid higher for Paramount and you refused. Now you're after CBS, exactly the kind of company that's going to lose out in the multi-channel age.
Diller tries to speak, but Ralph cuts him off.
Also, merging QVC with CBS will reduce our stake from 15% to 5%. We don't want to be a disgruntled minority investor. So, we're buying QVC.
Brian steps forward.
It's not personal, Barry. It's just that our visions don't align. However, we'd love for you to stay on at QVC after we buy it.
Diller smirks.
I think we all know that's not going to happen.
My car's waiting. If you want to ride with me, you're welcome.
Diller leads Ralph and Brian Roberts to his car and spends the journey putting on a brave face. It's another crushing blow. He's lost Paramount. Now, he will lose CBS and QVC. His attempt to build his own entertainment empire has failed. But as the lights of Manhattan come into view, his spirits lift. After all, Comcast's takeover offer will turn the $25 million he invested in QVC into $75 million. Maybe this is a chance to regroup and return with a bigger, better plan. And he will. A year later, Diller reunites with John Malone to take over QVC rival HSN. He then uses HSN to build IAC, a vast internet conglomerate with stakes in Expedia, Match.com, and more. But even as he builds IAC into a multi-billion dollar Goliath and amasses a personal fortune of more than $4 billion, he will always be haunted by one thing: that missed opportunity to buy Paramount. Next time on Business Wars, we're speaking with journalist and podcast host Matthew Bellany to find out if Paramount Pictures is still the shiny object it once was. Plus, a primetime conversation with former Viacom exec Doug Herzog on the rise and decline of cable TV.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is episode 4 of the Battle for Paramount Pictures for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. If you'd like to read more about Comcast, we recommend An Incredible Dream, Ralph Roberts and the Story of Comcast by William Novak. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Jason Freeman. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, the best one yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.